In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
So I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever found yourself in a critical mood? One of those times where you're feeling snippy at people or at situations. Maybe it's the people you see on TV or the internet. Maybe it's the whole world in general. Nothing feels like it's going right, and your mind says, I have a better way. You have this internal voice criticizing everything and everyone. And maybe we don't even like the mood. We don't like being that. Silly question, isn't it? For most people, that mood does come on us once in a while. Hopefully, the mood goes away on its own. Maybe we're like a golden retriever, and we're feeling critical, and then, oh, squirrel. You know, something distracts us. Maybe for us it's, oh, bakery, or, oh, touchdown, or, hey, hummingbird. Sometimes a simple distraction is all it takes for our critical mood to disappear. But other times, you may have noticed, it kind of hangs on tighter, doesn't go away on its own. It lingers, maybe even days. And maybe we just kind of like that feeling at first. It gives us this false sense of superiority. Because if I can criticize someone else, that must make me somehow better. At least that's what my mind's doing. Usually we eventually grow weary of this mood. I guarantee you, your friends and loved ones grow weary of you being in this mood. But because it's hanging on, sometimes you really have to will it to go away. You have to pray it to go away. But what happens? What happens if a person gets into such a habit of being critical, they actually start to enjoy it? They actually like being that way. They don't want to let go of the critical mood, so much so that instead of it just being a mood, it becomes part of their personality, even part of their self-identity. You know, it's if you brought it to their attention and said something like, hey, just checking in, you've seemed kind of critical lately, want to know if everything's okay. And instead of responding, oh gosh, I hadn't realized, or I'm so sorry, I've had so much going on, instead they say, hey, that's just who I am. I've always been this way. This is the real me, take it or leave it. They've gotten to the point where being critical is no longer a mood, but a self-identity. Now, maybe it's kind of fun to point fingers at someone else, especially if we don't wrestle with that particular temptation ourselves. But before we find too much glee in pointing at someone else, pointing elsewhere, I guarantee that every human being who lives long enough on this earth will let a certain spiritual flaw or a spiritual negative habit go unchecked until it gets hard to distinguish it from our true essence. And maybe yours isn't being critical. That was just an example. It's an example we all face once in a while, but maybe that isn't your big cross. Yours may be quite different. That was just an example. But the more honest you are with yourself, the more self-aware you can be, the easier it will be to see just where you have let a flaw or a fear or a shortcoming or a habit become part of your self-identity. And this leads us to today's gospel passage. Jesus encounters a paralyzed man at a miraculous pool, a pool in which an angel occasionally comes down and stirs the water, and then those waters become healing to the first person who enters. Now, the man Jesus encounters has been lying there paralyzed 38 years. 38 years. Starting now, how long would that be for you? 38 years. If I were to start the clock today, that would leave me paralyzed at the side of a public pool until I was in my mid-90s. That's how long 38 years is from today. It's a long time. Jesus comes up and asks this man a most curious question. He says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? On the surface, it might even seem like a foolish question. Who wouldn't want to be healed? I mean, after 38 years lying paralyzed at the side of a pool, who wouldn't want to be healed? Well, that is the question, isn't it? Can we think of some reasons this man may not actually want to be healed when it comes down to it? How would his life change? What would he have to give up that he may have gotten used to over 38 years? For starters, if he's healed, he loses his income. Now, we might think, well, he's a beggar. What kind of measly income is that? But if you're healed, your income goes from measly to zero. It goes down to zero. That means getting a job. That means quite literally a change of career after 38 years of doing nothing. That could be a scary, scary prospect. If he's healed, it means he's now responsible for himself after 38 years of being dependent on everybody else, even someone bringing food to him. That's a big change. If he's healed, he loses his license to complain. He loses the free pass to say, poor, poor me. If he's healed, he loses the upper hand in exacting the pity of others. You think you got it bad, try being me. That goes away if he's healed. But probably the hardest thing of all, healing means giving up his self-identity that he has spent the majority of his life developing, building. If he is healed, he will lose his sense of identity as I am the suffering victim. That goes away. Suffering victim can be a very attractive self-identity if you're in it for 38 years. Now, if I'm a critical person, that's just who I am, take it or leave it, the example we began with, if that can become our self-identity, I'm a critical person, suffering victim is going to be that much harder to let go of, especially after 38 years. I mean, suffering victim is a very big self-identity for this man. And so Jesus asks him this question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be responsible? Do you want to let go of all those earthly categories you've come to identify with? The categories in his case being victim, being in need of pity, and being dependent. Do you want to get rid of all of that? But of course, we're hearing this question ourselves this morning as well, and therefore the question also comes from Jesus to us. You know, what about us? What happens to us when we hear the question? What categories have become so part of my self-identity that I need to let go of? If Jesus were to come to me and say, do you want to be healed? What would I have to let go of? A critical person may not want to stop being critical. A stubborn person may secretly like being stubborn. An insecure person may secretly be very used to self-loathing. Those things can be hard to let go of. And so each of us really has to listen to this question of Christ and fill in the blank of what applies to ourselves. You know, think of it this way. Think of it, if you hear the sentence, I know I'm blank, what would your blank be? You know, what fear, what shortcoming, what habit? How would you complete that sentence? I know I'm blank, that's just how I am. What would you put in there? I know I'm this way. That's just how I roll. What's your blank? Do you have your thing in there? Well, that's the very thing that Jesus comes to you and says, do you want to be healed of this? Are you ready to let go? Do you really want that gone? And do you really want a new self-identity? Or maybe better put, do you want the self-identity that Christ placed within you that somehow has since gotten buried? Buried with whatever earthly or distorted or pain-filled identities that a person takes on. This is not only the question of the day, this is one of the most important questions God ever asks in all of Scripture. It's in the top three questions, if you ask me. It's one of the most important questions you will ever hear throughout your life. ever. It's the question Jesus asks the paralytic, and in the gospel, it's the question he asks all of us today. Do you want to be healed? Amen.